Hi, it's Megan Segura.
And it's Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast. Eric's back.
Hey.
By popular demand.
It's true.
Me. Thanks. It was just me.
I'm glad to be back.
No, I actually got a lot of Instagram love. People loved you on the episode. So
That's great. Thanks for being back. Of course. I got a lot of nice tweets too. So thank you everyone for your kind words.
My God, what a time to be alive. There are four Real Housewives shows on right now.
I mean, this is the prime time.
Prime time. Don't make plans. Just stay at home and watch Bravo. Also, we had the Shaw's finale featuring MJ's wedding, which I can't wait to get into.
I'm so excited. I have a lot to talk about.
Yes. And then I was at the Real Housewives of Dallas reunion.
I mean, you're working like Andy Cohen over here. I don't know. You're the only other person who attends as many reunions as Andy.
It's true. And then we have interviews with NeNe Leakes and Emily Simpson. I talked to her today.
I'm glad. I'm excited to hear what she has to say.
Yes. And then you have to bring us word on the street.
Absolutely. Double time again.
And Rose and Thorn, like mm-hmm. we do every week. So let's get into it.
Okay, great. Well, we do have some news to talk about that, you know, we just feel like we need to recognize with the California wildfires and everything that's been going on there. It's hit a little close to home. We've had some Bravolebs have been affected. Camille Grammer lost her home. Eileen Davidson, Denise Richards, all of them have had some kind of trauma from this.
Yeah. You know, we are going to include links in the description for where you can help to donate. I know Lisa Vanderpump is also leading the charge in terms of helping organize support through Vanderpump Dogs.
Yeah.
So you guys can check out those links for ways that you can also help.
There's a lot of support out there and there's a lot of conversation on social media about it. So if you're looking to help, just check the link in the description, but also check your feeds because there's a lot of people talking about it and a lot of people talking about ways to help. Well, let's talk about something a little bit more upbeat.
Okay.
So, I mean, like we mentioned, you just went to the Dallas reunion taping.
Yes.
And I haven't even been here, so I haven't heard anything about it. So I'm excited to hear. What can you tease this week?
How was the reunion? I think that the following clip from Leanne really embodies the spirit of that day.
Oh, boy.
How are you feeling today about the reunion?
Pissed as f***. No, not really. Yeah, really.
So as you can see, it was crazy.
That's such a Leanne response.
I mean, it's so funny because one of the people working on cutting down the videos and stuff in the office, she came over to me and she goes, "Are you okay? I just watched that whole interview and that was a lot." Because every response she gave was like that.
Wow.
She was on fuego.
So what was more intense, do you think, Dallas or OC?
In terms of how angry people were at each other, I would say Dallas.
Wow.
And I was really tired that day. I thought that I wouldn't be able to make it the whole day at the reunion, but I ended up being so captivated, I stayed
wow.
pretty late. Yeah.
Was Scott there? Scott Dunlop?
I was like, who's Scott? I did not see Scott.
Okay.
But what is funny is they had set up this screen for me and Caitlin, who's our video person, to just sit and watch everything that's happening. So we're not actually on set. We were in another room mm-hmm. watching through a screen. And all of the glam was with us. And then someone came in and was like, "Glam cannot be in here." I think they're really worried about all the leaks that
right.
can happen at reunions.
Right.
So unfortunately, Glam was not able to stay in the viewing room.
Well, understandably so.
Yeah.
Did you have a best dressed?
So Deandra did something different, which is she wore like a power suit.
Ooh.
It was sort of like a smoking jacket, but with pants. Very nice.
Do you think that was handpicked by Mama D?
I mean, possibly. Cameron certainly pulled out like a different hairstyle. I'll say that.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like I need you to see it to fully.
Was she in pink?
Of course. And backstage, she was wearing a t-shirt that said, "Keep Dallas Pretentious," which I appreciated.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was good. I can't say too much more, but I can't wait for everyone to watch it.
I mean, that was a pretty good tease, I think. And we're going to have a video revealing all of the ladies' reunion looks. It's in the description.
Yes. Okay, so I really wanted to talk this week about MJ and Tommy's wedding from Shaws of Sunset.
There's a lot to unpack there.
Okay, I am married. Mm-hmm. And I will say being a bride is stressful, especially toward the actual date. And I started to have nightmares that things were going wrong. So that my dress didn't fit, that the makeup wasn't how I wanted it, that the ceremony didn't go as planned. Was MJ's wedding my nightmare?
I think so.
But at the same time, I loved it.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, what were your thoughts on just the whole her getting ready and not having tried the dress on beforehand?
I mean, that was pretty shocking because, I mean, I know that there are, like, you're supposed to have a fitting like a certain amount of time before just to ensure.
You're supposed to have three fittings.
Right, at least. And when with the last one should be what? Like weeks before, right?
I mean, maybe. It was crazy, especially because this is the one item which it doesn't matter how you shop for your clothes otherwise. This is the one item that should fit like a glove because it's your wedding day. And when she was standing up at the altar and it was falling down her shoulders.
Yeah. Ugh. But the thing is, she didn't seem stressed out about this.
I know.
Like, she was swimming in the pool 4 hours ahead of time. Like, 2 hours before is when she actually put on the final dress. Like, it didn't seem like any of that stress that a bride would take with her onto wedding day was, like, she was not bugging at all.
And what was crazy is I feel like Vita was really pushing that stress limit.
Listen to me. This color is not for you tonight. Your makeup is too heavy.
You like it?
And too dark.
I think you look like a bride.
Makeup artist, Maury, I'm her mom and you have to listen to me. This is the most important day on our love and you ignore me. From the minute I walked in, I told you what I want. You always ignore.
I mean, I was having so much anxiety watching that because her mother, like, I thought her makeup looked great. And obviously, when you're getting makeup put on, it's a process. It takes layers. There are things that you have to do. And her mother was just nagging about, like, the way she looked. And, you know, once the makeup's on, there's not much you can do. So, like, all of that nagging was really, I mean, MJ didn't seem too fazed. She was kind of just like, whatever, this is my mom. I'm used to this.
I know.
But the whole time I was like, oh, my God, is she feeling okay? Like, I wanted to go in and, like, help MJ. Like, Reza kept trying to step in a little bit and be like, everything's fine, you know? And, like, I wanted to be that person for MJ in that moment.
I know. It is amazing, though, the effect Vita has on people. Because I think if it had been someone else, maybe the makeup artist would have snapped back with something.
Right.
But she just looked close to tears. And like you said, Reza was trying to figure out, like, even the, I think the lady who was trying to make sure everything happened on a time schedule, she was trying to figure out how to properly, you know, rein Vita in.
You can't mess with the mother of the bride. I mean, that is like the one position where you're like,
yeah,
how do you confront that person, you know?
Crazy.
Ugh.
Okay, I don't know if we actually saw how much vodka did MJ end up with.
It didn't seem like a lot.
It didn't seem like a lot.
Was that the only vodka she had before?
But that's the question.
Is there more shots?
You want a shot?
Yes.
Because did that help with the relaxation?
Right.
Because I think you do need a couple of drinks, but
typically it's more like a champagne, Prosecco, something bubbly, something light. But, I mean, she went straight for the vodka. I mean, I can't blame her. I mean, if maybe that's why I was feeling all of her anxiety, because I wasn't drinking vodka while I was watching this. And
that's always the issue.
That's how she got through it.
What did you think about her walk down the aisle?
Ah, I can't even believe it. I know. This is why my wedding is so important, because of all these people.
Has MJ ever been to a wedding before?
Yeah. I know, I love you too.
Homie, this is not a concert. You must come down the aisle and go to your groom that's been waiting for the last hour and a half while you decide to make your way out.
I know.
And you can hug and kiss everybody afterwards at the reception.
I can't do this, I have to walk down the aisle.
I mean, here's the thing, like, I've been to a lot of weddings at this point, and a lot of them are structured the same way. It's walking down the aisle, it's the procession, it's the music, it's the calm, it's the peace. But I really liked that she just did not care at all and was taking her time saying hey to people, being like, don't I look good? And like, they were all like, yeah, girl. You know, like, I really think injecting your personality into a wedding, even in the ceremony part of it, is awesome. I think it's important to do that. Like, I feel like weddings should have more personality, and like, usually that shows in the reception and those sort of things. But like, why not make your ceremony more interesting? I mean, she was already an hour late.
Right.
Which, you know, granted, I think you're allowed to be late to your own wedding. Like, that's understandable. An hour's pushing it a little bit, you know? But I mean, why not? Why not make it your own?
I loved what Mike said, though. It's like, this isn't a concert, homie. Right. You gotta get over there.
Right? Like, we gotta go. And plus, everyone, I will say, the ceremony is the part that everyone is typically looking to get through faster, because everyone's like hungry. They want to drink. They just want to get to the celebration part of it. Yeah. So, but I like that MJ was like, "This is about me. I'm gonna take my time. I'm gonna walk down this aisle. I'm gonna say hey."
Yeah.
Good for her.
I mean, she was possibly, though, maybe a little too relaxed at certain moments.
Right.
I mean, as Tommy was starting his vows, she's looking in the mirror and like fixing her hair. She's making faces at people in the crowd. And his vows were so sweet.
They were so sweet. I didn't expect that. They were very thoughtful and like so well suited for him. But I was like, this is perfect. These are perfect vows for her.
And of course, like, I'm tearing up watching it. And then you see Vita go, oh, God, just finish already.
She wanted some vodka.
Then MJ's vows.
I couldn't do the vows like in advance. When I met you, as I got to love you more, all I wanted to do was to love you more. As much as I got to love you and know you more, I just wanted to love you more. And I wanted to make sure that I was like, how do I make this man feel? Why are you laughing? This is important.
This is great.
You. Shut up. Shut up. Shut the up. I'm talking to you right now.
MJ's vows were like, oof.
This like, is why you have to write this.
It's your, I mean, I like the idea of winging it, but you need a rough outline. Like, you need to like get some points that you want to hit. And she did. She did try with that one line where it was like, "I love you more."
The more I got to love you, the more I wanted to love you.
Right.
And then of course he started laughing.
But she said it properly. I feel like when they were getting ready, like
probably,
she said exactly what she wanted to say, and everyone was like, "Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, you can wing it." But then once she got up there, it did not go according to plan.
And then she started cursing at Tommy.
Yes. In front of everyone. What is the opposite of a bridezilla? Because that's what she was. Like, she was like a like bride, like sloth, like just totally just like relaxed. Like letting it
relaxed.
Just like letting it happen. Well, I have to say too, I think they had the food while they were changing, because I know we had an outfit change, which I thought was great.
Oh, the jumpsuit,
I love an outfit change at a wedding.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of California, I know you lived there, and mm-hmm. I know you're probably protective of it, but I couldn't help but notice that the wedding venue was gorgeous, but then across from it, you could see this little strip mall. Why is it just strip malls in LA?
It's just people need to get their shopping done. And not everyone can make it to the Beverly Center. I mean, it is a lot of, it's a lot of strip malls. I mean, I feel like that's very West Coast, even in the desert. I feel like there's just a lot of strip malls, but you can have a Taco Bell next to the Taj Mahal out there. Like, it's just like, there's no telling, you know, what's going to be next door to what.
Well, the reunion is coming up. The sneak peek of it is live on the site, so we'll include a link. Make sure you check it out. It looks good.
We got it. I mean, the way that this finale ended, everyone was like, no matter what we go through, we love each other. We got each other's back.
So.
I don't think the reunion is going to prove that. So that'll be interesting to watch.
Now, but if you guys aren't caught up on Shaw's yet, you need to. Seasons 1-5 are currently available on the Bravo Now app and on demand.
Ooh, time to binge.
Our next sponsor, I was so excited when I heard I was getting a free trial because I was just taking their online quiz. Noom is an app for those who maybe want to get a little healthier. I, for the most part, I eat well, I exercise, but I found myself falling off the wagon a little bit and just not being as motivated as usual. I started Noom and I fell in love instantly. First of all, you get a lot of practical tips to help you throughout your day. So it's a lot of psych tricks. It's getting out of the idea that some foods are bad, some foods are good. It's all about moderation. They also help you log your foods each day, which that in itself is super helpful. And to know that there is a health coach on the other side looking at what you write, and these little tricks and changes end up making a huge difference. And don't worry if you don't have a lot of time. Noom just wants you to commit to 10 minutes each day. They also have one of the biggest food databases available and tons of recipes. So if your problem is eating healthier, this makes it very easy. It also really informs you on what kind of foods you need to eat maybe less of, which you need more of. It's like having a nutritionist in the palm of your hand. So what do you have to lose? Sign up today to start your trial at noom.com/dish. Start your trial today at noom.com/dish and start losing weight for good. That's noom.com/dish to start your trial and start seeing life-changing results.
Well, so let's go into New Jersey, because I want to talk about, last week was really, I feel like, about the ladies, very female focused.
Yeah.
But this week, I think it's about the husbands.
Ooh.
So the first thing we saw was Margaret's husband, Joe, getting that tattoo on his ring finger opposed to wearing a ring, which I really love that idea. And I've thought about that previously. I don't know why we always seem to talk about marriage on here.
I hear wedding bells, Danny.
But I love that idea because I feel like I particularly have feminine hands. And I feel like when I wear a ring, it's just too much. And I've tried to get away with it. And it just doesn't, I don't feel comfortable with a ring. So I love the idea of getting a tattoo. Now, I don't know if I loved the font Joe chose. Mm-hmm, I do like the idea of the date, you know, signifying whatever, you know, the day that they got married. But I love some kind of symbol or some kind of recognition like that that would be a tattoo.
Yeah.
Would you ever do that? I mean, Beyonce and Jay, yeah, they got their fours.
I like it when people do it on the inside of the finger.
Yeah.
I've looked at a lot of things like that because I think they can be very tasteful and pretty.
Right.
But you do run into the issue of the tattoo curse.
Exactly.
So
it's the same as getting like a name. Like you're just like, oh, now I have that. But that's why maybe it could be like a symbol, like a little, like a crown or even like a heart. I mean, a heart might be a little corny.
She and I have, Margaret and I were married the same month and year.
What, really?
Yeah, when I saw the tattoo, I was like, oh, that's my anniversary.
Were you married before? Like a little bit before? Like the date?
I forget what hers was. Mine was the 13th.
Oh, I think hers was after.
Yeah.
Wow. Love was in the air at that time. Well, I also want to talk about new housewife Jackie's husband, Evan. Mm. So is Evan joining the ranks of like Maurizio as like a hot house husband bae? Like we didn't catch a lot of him, but I think he's cute.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah.
I mean, we only got a brief look at him, but he had some like salt and pepper. He had some like chiseled look. I mean, I wanted more. I was hoping for more. I actually did rewind a little bit to get like a second look because I was like, we need to see more of him, and I need to know exactly what this looks like.
I bet we will get more.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I sure hope. Evan, please show up. Please show up a little bit more. Jackie, we need you. The other thing I want to talk about, and this I have a lot of feelings about, Jennifer asking her husband about going to Oklahoma.
Margaret actually invited all of us to go to Oklahoma for the weekend. What do you think about that?
I hope you told him no.
No, actually, I told them yes.
Without discussing?
Yes.
So I was like really surprised. And we talked last week about how Jennifer's going to be, you know, different than the other ladies, just given her background, where she's from. But this was like really different, I think, from anything we've seen, especially, you know, on Jersey and even at larger. Like I felt very uncomfortable watching that exchange.
It's interesting because I was like, oh, this is different. But then part of me was like, is it different? Looking at the way Joe Gorga is with Melissa, I mean, he isn't even supportive of her having a career, really. He complains, you know, if food isn't on the table. So has it just been that we're so used to him like that, that we forget? I don't know.
Like, no, that's an interesting point.
Because I feel like what was different about this franchise in the beginning was this old school Italian mentality.
Right.
And, you know, her husband, Jennifer's husband, clearly has similar ideas.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, it rubbed me the wrong way a little bit too.
He just seemed very inconvenienced by her request. And it was sort of like the way he reacted, being like, well, now I have to rearrange my schedule. It's like, don't you have like family you could call to help out, like someone to babysit? Like, there's definitely, I like when there's more of a balance.
Right.
When I see more of a balance in relationships, and that's all sorts of relationships. It doesn't just have to be husband, wife. It can be mother, daughter. Like, I like to see that there's a balance, and I wasn't feeling that. And, you know, she didn't feel like, it didn't seem to upset her too much. It seems like this is a part of their everyday life. And I'm glad that he, I guess, gave her permission to go. But it's still just like the way he reacted, I was sort of like, I feel like you should be a little bit more understanding of, like, yeah, she just wants to go to Oklahoma. You know?
Right.
She's not asking to go to Canada, like, you know, like Asia for 2 weeks. Like, it's Oklahoma for a few days. Like, you can handle it.
I will say we're saving the interview for later, but I did talk to Jennifer. And one thing that she said that was interesting to me is, you know, in her culture, looking for fame is sort of frowned upon.
Uh-huh.
So even her joining the show was kind of a big deal. And from his perspective, I gave you everything I thought you wanted, and now you still want more.
Interesting.
So not that that in any way doesn't make it a little weird for me.
Mm-hmm.
It just at least gives me that other point of view.
Right. Well, maybe he was like, great. See, she signed up for this show. Now she's going to Oklahoma. Like, what's next? You know, like, now he's kind of like, great. Now I'm stuck with these kids the
right.
whole time. So, all right. That's sort of fair.
I will say, though, it was nice to see Jennifer sort of try to stand up to her husband and say, like, I really want to go on this trip.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen other housewives who never really gained that independence. Aviva from Real Housewives of New York, you know, she had to travel with her husband.
Right.
But in general, this is why I love Real Housewives as a franchise, because it has always sort of put a spotlight on women gaining independence from their husbands.
That's
in
true.
Whatever way or shape that comes. So
yeah.
This is interesting.
Off to Oklahoma she goes. I mean, going into Joe Gorga, too, like you had mentioned, you know, the whole thing with his role in the family dynamic with Teresa and his dad, like that sort of hit home for me towards the end, especially with Gia kind of stepping in and standing up for her mom. And, you know, Joe, I guess, you know, hadn't been really calling his dad, and it had been a few weeks since they had been in touch. And, you know, I was out last week for a few days with like a family situation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's really starting to hit home, like as you have these parents and grandparents who are getting older and, you know, losing their significant others and really depending more on that sort of relationship with their kids and their grandkids. You know, so his toast that he gave at Easter, Nono gave, when he was like, to my wife, like the,
yes,
I lost it. I was like, oh my God, I was like, this is so upsetting. You know, I like, Joe, just call your dad.
I know.
You know?
But you know, I do think it's one of those things where he has to kind of come to that on his own.
Yeah.
I mean, the more Teresa tries to tell him, it's like the more resistant he is.
And Melissa too.
Yeah.
It's rough. It's always like, I mean, it's just vicious cycle with those,
right.
with those people.
I think it is hard to be Melissa, though, because you, of course, you want your husband to spend time with his father. But at the same time, if he's a workaholic, you also, as a mother, need to make sure he's at home with his kids and
right.
raising his children.
Right.
So, yeah. I
yeah.
don't know.
So Melissa's almost in more of a difficult position, I think, in
yeah.
that whole situation. And you got to stand by your man, too.
It was crazy, though, to see Gia standing by her mom, like, as an adult, basically.
Right, right.
And we've just come such a long way.
I know.
It's like, whoa, like, she is a woman, and she's supporting her mother.
I liked that moment, and I, you know, even like yelled at my TV screen, I think, when Melissa was like, she's a kid, she doesn't need to have this conversation. I was like, she's not gonna be a kid forever. She's 17. That's almost legal adult
also,
age.
She's been through way more than most 17-year-olds
exactly.
have at this point.
Right. And just being, you know, seeing what Teresa goes through every day, like, I commend her for standing up for her mom, because like she has a right to step in, I think, at this age, and she's not gonna be young forever.
Yeah.
Now I'd love to get into Atlanta, because there's a lot to talk about there, too. So we had a lot of conversation last week about Portia and Dennis.
Right.
And they really sent me over the edge this week, because sharing a toothbrush?
Babe, this toothbrush you shop, stop. Bring me yours.
We ain't gonna never get out of here.
Babe, bring me your toothbrush. Your toothbrush is off.
Come on, babe. We got to go now. Come on.
Why did you treat me like this?
Come on, lady. We got to go. Come on.
Bring me your toothbrush. You know, let me go in your room and get a toothbrush. You playing?
You don't think it's gross when we're at home? Damn it, this is an emergency. Look at my big ass teeth. What am I about to do with this little bitty, tiny, soft, bristle toothbrush? Not a damn thing.
Have you ever shared a toothbrush with Aaron?
I am trying to think. I mean, we have accidentally, we're like, we had matching toothbrushes, and it was like, wait, did you just, no, that's mine. But yeah, have you?
No, never.
No, I think even if in dire straits, like I would just use my finger and some toothpaste.
I've done that before when I haven't had a toothbrush. Absolutely.
I saw, though, that Candy tweeted something about this and someone replied, have been for 2 years.
Have been what?
Sharing a toothbrush with our person for 2 years.
No, I mean, thank you to the rest of the ladies because they were all like, that's insane, that's insane. Because I was like, other people need to speak up on this because I need to know where everyone stands on this issue because there's just no way. And every single one of them were like, what? No, there's no need.
Funny enough, so I've been binging Made in Chelsea, the British version of The Hills, basically. Uh-huh. And an episode I watched today, they dealt with the same thing. And some of the people were grossed out by it. And this other girl said, if you can suck his willy, you can share his toothbrush. And I was like, that's a fair point.
I mean, it is a fair point. But I feel like just from like a more scientific perspective, there's like more bacteria going on. You know, I mean, it's just, I don't know. You're supposed to brush. You're supposed to floss. You're supposed to use mouthwash. Like all of these things that like to keep that place clean. Like I don't want to increase the chances of more germs and somebody else's germs in there.
Yeah. And plus, I think cavities are contagious.
Are they?
Yeah.
Ooh. Just by looking at someone?
No, but from kissing, I had read that.
No way. Oh, God, I need to get to the dentist. Well, also, but with Portia and Dennis, too. So I was a little bit confused about the order of events in the night that they were at the hotel together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought they both went out to the club, like, after the dinner. And I thought when she was, like, joking about the club that they had gone together. And then she confronted him the next day, like, where were you? And, like, that whole exchange was kind of shady to me.
It's very weird.
Yeah.
I don't understand how you're on a trip together and you wake up and you're like, I'm not sure where that person is.
Right. This room that he booked for us.
Why wouldn't she go to the club with him?
I don't know. And the whole thing with, like, showering her in gifts and, you know, it's is he distracting her? And like Portia has a line in her interview where she's like, ignorance is bliss. And I'm like, but is it though? I mean, that seems to be not the right attitude to have.
Also, if you're on The Real Housewives, you won't be ignorant for long. People
exactly.
will be letting you know.
Right. And I mean, I really appreciated towards the end of the episode when, you know, Candy kind of gave her that advice of like, you know, just be careful how much you talk about marriage. Like, let him think it's his idea. I feel like that's always the way to sort of manipulate someone that you want to do something. You just make them think it's their idea, you know?
It's like Carol and Tinsley on Real Housewives of New York.
Yes.
You're like, keep it cute. Right. Keep it cute.
No, that's so true.
Then, you know, Panda Tinsley.
right, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think Portia should have received that advice a little bit more from Candy, and Candy was only looking out, and she kept it real, and she wasn't, you know, I think Portia could have taken that advice a little bit further. But we did get our first Marlo appearance of the season.
Love Marlo.
Love me a good Marlo. The whole thing, too, about switching rooms, it was a very Marlo move to make, but it's Portia's birthday weekend. Did she have to go and hijack that room?
Maybe this is my room.
No, okay. It's not.
How do you know for sure?
Because your room has your name on it.
You definitely don't need this. This is too much for you. You like more simple at home.
Girl,
you can be next to Candy.
I was wondering what was in Marlo's bag, but I figured it out. Her sense of entitlement is packed in one of these 6 bags because there's absolutely no way she could have thought she would get the penthouse suite.
Also, I totally agreed with Eva where she was just like, really?
Right.
Like, you are so entitled.
Yeah.
You don't need the biggest room.
No.
Ramona.
And I mean, Portia was the one who organized everything. Like, there were little name cards on the beds, like room assignments. Like, everyone, every housewife knows you need to make assignments or, you know, try to like figure out who needs the right space. But that was kind of weird. And what I also thought was interesting was that Marlo, I guess, is the first person to meet Dennis.
Oh, right.
Because they ended up at the club, I guess, the next night.
Yes.
And we got that little bit of their like club footage.
Yeah.
So what does Marlo think?
She seemed to like him.
I guess so. I mean, he might have been supplying the
But then again,
bottles.
I think Marlo's just happy whenever she hears someone got a Rolex. She was right. Like, he's a good guy.
Right. It's true. That's very true. I love when we get to see those sort of behind the scenes moments. So I wish we got one like interview moment with Marlo, though, where she could have given us like a one liner about Dennis.
Yeah.
So we could have gotten a little bit more insight. But it is what it is.
Is what it is.
I also was really excited that, you know, all of the girl. I love surprises. I don't know about Nene.
You dropping a hint?
Yes. Yes. Everyone take note of that, please. I love surprises. I'm like Kristen Wiig's character. I love surprises. You know, just for the girls to go through and do that, everything that Nene and Greg have been through, it's so nice to see the girls show up for them, you know, in their time, like Nene taking the stage again, Greg going through what he went through, and just all of them kind of coming together to show their support. Like, I love those kind of moments. I felt like that was like so important to Nene.
Yes, definitely. And it was hard to see Greg like that, yeah. I will say. You could tell, like, just looking at everyone else's face, looking at him, like, right. Ugh. Poor thing.
And then the next day at the Swagalicious opening, yeah. You know, and he was like, he felt lightheaded. He went outside and like literally all of the girls rushed outside. They were like, what do you need? Do you have some water? Like, let me help you. Are you okay, Greg? Like, that was such a real, authentic moment.
Totally.
Where I was like, no matter what these girls have been through, all the drama, like, they are here to support and they're here to show love, especially to Greg. Like, he's such a sweetheart. You hate to see him like that.
But I will say, when someone's overheated, maybe the last thing to do is sort of form a mob around
yeah,
him.
That's true. That's what they're like. Here's some water. It's a 97 degree day here in Atlanta. Oh, no, they were in Miami. It's probably even hotter in Miami.
Yeah.
I have an interesting proposal.
Oh.
Lonnie
I do.
Love. Oh. No, Lonnie Love.
Yes.
Joining the cast next season.
Wouldn't hate it.
Oh, she's so hilarious. And obviously, she's very close with Greg. Very
natural organic connection.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I know that you spoke to Nene also last week. So I know she talked a little bit about how the girls have been continuing to support her and Greg through this journey.
Oh, yes. It was really touching to hear what she had to say about it. So Listen for that interview a little bit later.
Well, why don't we get into some word on the street, talk about what's going on social media. So last night was the People's Choice Awards.
Yes.
And the whole cast of Vanderpump Rules was there. And although they did not win, sadly, they did meet Chrissy Teigen.
Oh, which I mean, that's a prize in itself.
I mean, come on. That's all you need. That's all the award you need.
Yeah.
They also, I have to say, I thought they all looked incredible on the red carpet.
They were looking good.
I loved Lala's dress.
Yeah.
All the boys looked dapper.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't anyone who was even remotely like, oh, what did you wear? Sheena was rocking that red jumpsuit.
Yes.
Ooh. And honestly, you know, I felt like I was there with them because they were flooding social media. There was like Instagram story after Instagram story after like tweet. I mean, everything. They were like all over the place, like, seemed like they were having a really good time. Like, they won the night, even if they didn't walk away with an award.
And they even showed that Amber Valletta was there.
Oh,
who,
yes.
If we all know, is Rob Valletta's sister.
Oh.
Sheena's ex.
Yeah, I think there was, like, a little, like, zoom in action or something. Like, oh, look at who's over there. A little shady, but we live for that, so
yes. It's
totally fine. And then, also, more word on the street, Todd went to the dentist today.
And that's exciting. Oh, there's more. Okay.
And that dentist was Dr. Heavenly.
Okay, that is exciting.
So we got a little Married to Medicine, RHOA crossover. So it was just, you know, Todd in there. Candy was actually the one who posted this, posted the Instagram post and was just saying, you know, Dr. Heavenly is so funny. Like, we love coming to see her. It reminded me that I need to go see a dentist.
Right.
Maybe I should just fly down to Atlanta.
Yeah. Do you think patients make Dr. Heavenly call them daddy?
Yes. And you know what? Speaking of patients.
Oh, I really thought I was going to be speaking of daddies.
Speaking of daddies. No, speaking of patients, we remember last week, Marge Sr.
Yes.
Went in.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Marge Sr. went in for a little procedure at a gynecologist. I found
that out. That sounds it was to get a little tightening.
A little rejuvenation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. didn't want to sound like it's her annual. That's right, boring. Right. Yeah. But necessary.
So she went in to a gynecologist. Laura also goes to that gynecologist.
Oh, Laura, who does social media for Bravo.
Exactly. And not only does Laura go to her, but Laura received an email blast that the doctor sent out saying, tune in to catch me on the Real Housewives of New Jersey premiere.
Can you imagine?
There is a Marge Senior special that people can request now.
Shut up! Yeah. Is it called that?
It says, like, ask for the Marge Senior at your next visit.
Oh my gosh. Yes. That's amazing. Oh, yes.
Yeah, I was like shocked, but I was also like, you know what? Capitalize on that. Absolutely.
Wow. Wow, 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 wow.
So if you're ever in Jersey, Marge Senior discount.
Yep.
Well, that's all I got for word on the street. I think that was enough.
I know. I think we should record the next one from the chair.
Yeah, absolutely.
As we mentioned earlier, I spoke to Nini, which was amazing. She is just such a ball of light and energy. And, you know, even speaking about Greg's health, she clearly had a message that she wanted to get out. So I just want you guys all to hear what she had to say. Nini Leakes, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I love it.
I watched the premiere just like everyone else. Yes. It is so good.
Thank you. I'm really excited about this season.
Yeah.
I really am.
Man, the first episode, Portia sure came out the gate.
Yeah.
Basically almost engaged.
Yeah. She's almost engaged. Yes.
You have become closer with her.
Yes.
What were your feelings when you saw how quickly she was moving in this relationship?
I thought it was fast. You know, I'm always like a big sister to Portia, and I just tell it like it is. Same with Cynthia. They're both in new relationships, and I thought it was fast. And I think that you have to take it a little slow and kind of get to know each other. You know, I've been in a relationship for a really long time, so I kind of think I'm an expert in relationships. But, you know, look. When you first meet somebody and you guys connect and you have a lot of chemistry, you know, it's just like, I like him, I love him, let's do it. So that's a good stage to be in. It's a good stage. So, and I have to say, I like Dennis.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I do.
And what do you think of Cynthia's new man?
I like Mike Hill. I'm with Cynthia a lot. Mike has dated me as well as Cynthia because I have been the third wheel many nights because my husband's been sick. So whatever events we had to go to, Mike Hill has been my boyfriend as well. So, you know, he's a great guy. He's a very nice guy. And I think he's good for Cynthia.
I will say, speaking of Greg, I know you talked on the show about this outpouring of support.
Yeah.
But I would say even in the office when everyone heard the news, it was devastating for people that don't know you. We think we know you, but we don't. So
it was very devastating.
How were things?
It was very heavy. It was very hard. Very hard to hear.
Yeah.
And we heard it and we had to get in action. Like, it was almost like, okay, Greg has cancer and we need to take his colon out right now. We say what now?
Yeah.
Like, it was like that fast. I took him to the emergency room. We going out to Cinco de Mayo and we were hanging out and he left early. He said, I'm not feeling good. I'm going to leave. And I said, okay. So I'm not even thinking it. I'm thinking he doesn't feel good. He always doesn't feel good. So I'm like, you just go on. And I hung out late. And the next morning, he was in the bed with me, but he kept getting up, running back and forth to the bathroom, feeling nauseous. And he did it so many times that sometimes when I look back, I feel bad. I said, Greg, get out of the bed. Get out of this bed. I cannot sleep with you. Like, you're doing too much. Like, oh, my God. And he's like, I'm going to go down the hall to the guest room. So he goes to the guest room, and I wake, and I get dressed, and I realize that Greg is still being sick. And I said, listen, let me tell you something. Don't tell me about being sick anymore if you don't want to go to the doctor, because he never wants to go to the doctor. He doesn't like the doctor. So I said, that's it. I'm leaving. I'm going to go about my day. And as I got ready to leave, he said to me, okay, take me to the hospital. Please go get me some pants. And I thought, Greg is really sick. He really wants to go to the hospital. This is so crazy. I took Greg to the hospital and left him. No, so serious. Because I really just was like, he doesn't want to go to the doctor. I'm so sick of arguing with him about the doctor. I go in, they get him checked in. I say, you okay now? You're here with the doctor. I got to go do something. I'll be back later. Like, that turned into, you got to get back to the hospital. The doctors need to talk to us. To, we're going to take out his colon. He has cancer. Like, it went really fast. And we were just blown away. Like, he was bawling. I'm trying to figure out, you know, how to stay strong and help him and talk to other doctors for advice. Because, you know, the first thing you hear when the doctor tells you something like this, to get a second opinion. But they kept telling us we didn't have time for a second opinion. And I was like, oh, no, we got time. We got to call Dr. Oz. We got time. Dr. Oz, help. You know, we called to everybody we could think of. And everybody came back where he needed to have a surgery. Mm. It was fast. It was heavy. It's been one of the hardest things we have to deal with in our relationship. Listen, if you make it through this, you can make it through anything, because it definitely tests our relationship every single day. It tests us every single day. He could say something, being a caretaker, he could say something to me and it's like, listen, Linda, hold on. Now, I know you didn't just say it like that, because he is upset or he's mad. He's, you know, embarrassed. It's crazy. I tell people that Greg is embarrassed by cancer. He is. It's weird. I asked his oncologist, and she says there's lots of patients that feel embarrassed. Like, why me? He just, I don't understand it, but they could tell him something new, and he said, don't tell anybody. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Like, why we can't tell somebody? Like, what's the big ass deal? I thought you were helping people. And he's like, I don't want anybody to know. Like, he just flips out every second. And then he'll change later, but he feels embarrassed by cancer. I don't know what that is, because I don't have cancer, but he's embarrassed by it at times. And he definitely says, why me, all the time? Why me? What did I do to have cancer? It's been the heaviest thing we've had to deal with, really.
I remember watching the first ever episode of Atlanta, and you really were a true housewife, you know, tending to your husband. Mm-hmm. And then as the show goes on and all of your career endeavors, and he was very supportive of you and was even managing your shows. Mm-hmm. Does it feel again like this role reversal where?
Well, again, you know, it felt like when Greg and I broke up and once, and I would go upstairs and Greg would come downstairs. It feels like that, because it feels like we kind of broke up. We kind of broke up when he had cancer, because we've always slept in the bed together. With cancer, I sleep upstairs, he sleeps downstairs. It's like a little mini divorce. It's really weird. It's really weird because I still work. Greg is home. I'm still having to try to be supportive of him, and then he tries to be supportive of me. It's really like we kind of broke up. So f-ing weird. Like, cancer is the devil. I swear it is. It's like horrible. It's the worst thing you would ever want. You would just ever. And if you ever get cancer, one thing I do know is you want to have somebody that is very, very much in your corner, a support system. It's very difficult. It's very, the patient, girl, I want to kill my patient every now and then. I want to kill Greg because of the things he's saying and doing, and he's so wishy-washy, and he could yell in a second. He could cry in a second. He's just all these thousands of things. I'm just like, where is the vodka? Because I can't take it. He's a lot. And many people, they ask you, how's Greg doing? I wish him well. How is Greg? And I want to say, how am I damn doing? That's the question.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because the caretaker, we're dealing with a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff. Now, because I actually posted on my Twitter, when a person is sick like this, are they mean? Because I have thought many days Greg has been mean. And I'm thinking, you are mean as hell. Like, is this what cancer do to you? And I posted on my Twitter, and I got all these comments back of people saying, most people say, yeah. Most people say they're sick and it's not them talking, it's the medicine talking. I was like, he had to hear up and get off these meds because I can't take it.
Right.
Yeah. But we've come a long ways. He looks great. He's lost about 87 pounds. He had 87 to lose, and that was a good thing. Because sometimes when you lose a lot of weight, you don't look great.
Right.
He looks great.
Good.
He looks younger. He looks great. And Listen, he is on the road to recovery. I can't wait for you guys to hear the end because he's had three surgeries. He's done a lot of things, and he, you guys are going to see in the end how great he is, how great he looks.
Well, I wish I could. I have a million more questions, but I'm getting the wrap up.
Girl, you can ask me another question.
Well, all I want to say is, girl, of the ladies, yeah, who is being there for you?
Well, I will say all the girls do rally with me. They all come to Florida to see me. Obviously, I'm closest to Marlo and Cynthia. So they're around me a lot, and they're with us at the hospital. Even when the cameras aren't there, and for real, they're really there at the hospital. And so they have been very supportive. They've been very supportive because I'm not the best caretaker. I learned that. I'm not the best caretaker. You don't want me to take care of you, girl. Do not want me to take care of you because I forget. I forget the shit to give you. I done forgot everything. So I'm terrible. I'm not your caretaker. Okay, now I can make sure you have everything and set the alarm. But I'm not going to be able to give you anything. It's just too much. And I got work to do. So, but listen, these girls have been amazing this season. I think it's the best season that we've had in a long time because our seasons have been very dark and very heavy and very negative over the years. This season, yeah, we have drama. I don't think we could ever do this show with six or seven women and not have drama, you know, because we all have a period and then our wigs are falling apart. I mean, we just feel horrible some days and we all go in on each other. But the good thing about this is we all come back together every single time because what I'm going through is bigger than the drama. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's bigger than me and Candy fighting. And, you know, we just have to work through it because I'm going through something that's so big and so serious that I don't think any of these girls wanted to do that to me, you know, even though they don't always like me, girl. They are now loving me. They have to be here with me. They have no other choice. I'm like, Greg is sick, bitch. Get over here and hug me or something. Don't you see I'm feeling some kind of way? Girl, you ain't got to like me like that, but you need to hug me today. So these girls have been good to me.
Good. Going through this cancer battle with Greg, what is one thing you want all the viewers out there to take away from it?
My husband decided that he wanted to be very open about his cancer because he wanted to help the next man. Yeah. Helping a male because my husband never went to the doctor. My husband was the Alka-Seltzer man. He plop, plop, fizz, fizz, every damn thing. He thinks it's the cure to everything. Get an Alka-Seltzer. You know, you can have your arm hurt. An Alka-Seltzer. You know, so he took an Alka-Seltzer, yeah, all the time, which I like Alka-Seltzers myself. He's helped me over the years. But he never wanted to go to the doctor because he says he never wanted to hear the C word, cancer. And about 10 years ago, I did a colonoscopy, and I asked him to do it, and I asked him, and he wouldn't do it. I threatened to divorce him and everything. He still wouldn't do it. I wished he had gone and had a physical. So the moral of the story is Greg wants to open up his entire self, and he does this season. He opens up and shows everything about cancer. I mean, everything. So it's going to be great for those who need to learn. And also, you know, go and get your checkups. Yeah. Go see a doctor. Like, really.
Yeah.
It could save your life. I mean, he's diagnosed with stage 3 cancer because he never went to the doctor. Had he gone a few years ago, they probably could have caught it. You know, the blessing is that colon cancer is one of the most curable cancers. And so we have a fighting chance. We do. So you have to go get checked. Go get checked. Women, too. Go get checked. I've had many women say to me, I don't have any insurance. So what, bitch? Just go make a bill. You know what I'm saying? Just check in the damn place and say, listen, I don't feel good. Check me out, girl. And send me a bill. And they never pay it, hell. I mean, just go, though. You know what I'm saying? Go and get the bill. Look, go to the urgent care. I mean, go somewhere to a doctor where you have to pay and get labs because labs are important. Right. Just go to... Do we have those things up here, mm-hmm, like the lab place,
yeah,
like an any lab kind of thing? Mm-hmm. You just go in there and ask, I want to check everything, like check my thyroid, you know, check my potassium, check this, check that, check everything you can check with my blood, ma'am, and get back to me and pay for it. Because you need to do it because your life is, yeah, important. And that cancer thing is spreading like fire. You know, my husband changed his eating habits and so did I. He's plant-based. I'm pescatarian.
Ooh.
We learned that bacon is the number one cancer food. Bacon. And we like bacon. We ate a lot of it. We ate a whole pack a day almost. We love bacon.
Yeah.
And so anyway, do those things. I think everything in moderation and you'll be fine, and go to the doctor. Okay. Everybody hates the doctor, don't you? The first I walk in and they want to prick my damn finger, I start crying. I'm like, which finger you going to do now? Which one is going to be? You know, just anything. I mean, everybody hates the doctor, but you got to do it.
Got to do it.
Go get checked. Yeah.
Thank you so much for doing this interview.
Thank you.
And then for this next interview with Emily Simpson, I have to say every time I talk to Emily, she just is so easygoing. It honestly feels like just one of your friends. So when we start this interview, we're basically in mid-conversation. So just, you know, we're talking about the Real Housewives of Orange County reunion. Someone said, were Gina and Emily nervous at the reunion? And I said, they were the least nervous of anyone. They seemed genuinely excited to be there. I said, Emily was bouncing off the walls.
I was crazy. I had way too many shots of espresso. And then Gina and our rooms were right next to each other, so I kept going into her dressing room, and my makeup and hair girl was like, Emily, like, I cannot do your hair and makeup because you will not sit still. I cannot find you. And so I had to calm down. So
was it the coffee, or were you excited to be there?
It was both, because I do drink coffee every morning, but I don't normally even bounce around at work. So I had more coffee than normal. But no, I was excited. I was excited because I was really prepared. And two, because I was just glad for it to be over. And I knew once that was like the end cut, we're done filming, like I just felt like there was such a weight that was going to be lifted off of me, because it's a lot. I mean, it's a lot, you know. So I was just ready. I was like, let's just get this day over with. I'm ready. So
now that it's over, I mean, how was your first experience?
The season or the reunion?
The reunion, let's say.
It was pretty much what I expected. I knew it was going to be long. I knew it was going to be a long day. I knew I would probably cry. I knew I would probably yell. I knew I would be pissed. So I was all those. I did. I cried. I yelled. And so everything that I thought would happen happened. So it wasn't like I was unprepared for anything. So it went pretty much like I expected. I was way hungrier than I thought I would be. All I kept thinking about was a steak and baked potato. But I think they even have me like on audio saying that when it was over. I was like, Mama needs a steak. I'm so hungry.
What did you do after the reunion?
We actually all went to dinner together.
Oh.
Which is really, except for Shannon, because Shannon had a date. But the five of us went to dinner together, which is really interesting, because when you go into the reunion, there's so many divides between people. And, you know, Kelly keeps talking about my husband, so I'm pissed at her. But Gina and I were close. But, you know, I didn't know I didn't know what her deal was with me. And, of course, Shannon and I don't get along. So you go into it just knowing that there's all these different dynamics. And then we all went out to dinner together. So it's funny.
That's crazy.
Yeah, like just shows you it all kind of comes full circle, right?
Yeah, because the impression I got backstage when we were talking before you went into the reunion is you weren't really keeping in touch on the regular with all the other girls.
No, not at all. I mean, Gina's really the only one that I keep in touch with like on a regular basis. I mean, like on a daily, like several times a day basis, like FaceTime, text, call. But no, the other women I didn't really have like a strong connection with, and I feel like around reunion time, I feel like they avoid you too, because I feel like there's like strategy going on. I didn't have a strategy. I just knew I was friends with Gina and I was going to go in and just stand up for myself and be prepared. But I think there was a lot of other like things going on.
Well, do you think now you'll maybe receive a text every once in a while from Shannon?
Oh no. Are you kidding? No way. Absolutely not. She has to unblock me first before I probably get texts.
So that didn't happen? There wasn't that reconciliation?
Well, I felt like there was a little bit of a reconciliation. I mean, we did talk to each other when it was over, you know, just some pleasantries. And we all took, like, I had my camera, so we all six of us got in a selfie together. So I actually have a selfie of, like, all of us in the same shot. But, I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's a resolution, but I don't know if it necessarily means like she wants to be friends or hang out. I think it's more of just like, I don't know.
I'll tolerate you.
Yeah. I'll allow you to breathe. near me.
Something I never understood is, you know, we were sort of introduced to you as Tamara's friend.
Uh-huh.
And then based on the blogs I would read, you know, week over week that you guys would send in, it seemed like you weren't friends. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like I ever really saw where that breakdown happened.
You know, I don't really understand it either, because I feel like the breakdown between Tamara and me was more of a behind the scenes thing than actually on camera. Because when we filmed the whole season, we didn't really have an issue with each other. I mean, there were a couple times on the blogs where I called her out on stuff that I wasn't happy about when I watched it back later. But it was really after we were done filming. I don't know. She said a lot of things in interviews about me. And I was like, I don't even know where this is coming from. But okay. So I was prepared to go into the reunion to like have it out with Tamara.
So what has your kids' response been to seeing their mom and dad on the show?
My 12-year-old Chanel likes it. She's very into the show. She likes to watch. She likes to sit down and she watches it and she'll watch them over again. And then she gets very opinionated about things. She's 12 and she gets into it and she'll be like, well, Shannon should not have said that. And you should have. I mean, she like really gets into it. And I love it from that like innocent perspective of 12 right. that she, you know, she has very strong opinions about the way people act and what they say. So it's good. I mean, I almost feel like it's a great learning experience for a 12-year-old to see how not to act, like not what to do as an adult.
Yeah. And what about the older
one? Well, Shelby's 17. She's just in that age where I don't even know if she watches it. She wants to go to college and she's getting her college stuff and she's taking the SATs and the ACTs. And so she's just into, and she has a boyfriend.
Mm.
So
yeah.
Her life is just, you know.
Yeah, she could care less. Yes. No, I remember.
Exactly.
Definitely.
I mean, I remember 17 and yeah. 18 too. Like, I wouldn't have cared either. I would be like, I'm going to go with my boyfriend and, you know, figure out where I'm going to go to college and hang out with my friends. So.
Right. But still, it'd be really cool to be able to say my stepmom's a real housewife.
Yeah, I mean, I think she gets that a lot. Obviously, there's the notoriety with it. Like, all her friends know. And her friends watch. And then she'll say to me, like, my friends. I know what the big thing was. Her friends came to her and they watched the episode with Shane and Kelly. And her friend said, I don't understand what it is that your dad did. Like, I don't think it was that big of a deal. Like, I don't understand why she was like, you know. And so that was like a 17-year-old perspective where they were kind of confused about what the big deal was about him. So,
yeah.
But they know him too. We have girls over, like, you know, her friends come over to our house all the time.
Right.
And he's such a great dad. He like buys them pizza and makes popcorn for them. And so I think to them, they were just kind of like, I know this guy. He's just like right. a nice dad, you yeah. know?
How has your life changed since filming this season?
My life has changed. Well, it was a journey. I mean, in the beginning, it was really, really hard for me. And it really, the backlash against Shane really affected me, because I was like, that is my husband. Like, it really hurt me, because I felt like it was not only a backlash against Shane, but against my marriage. And then it was like my children. I took it really personally. And that was where I realized, like, I had to not be so emotionally invested in what other people were saying about him or my life or about my marriage, because I'm the only one that really knows what's going on. I mean, mm-hmm. you only get a small glimpse into our life. I've been married to him for 10 years, so there's obviously way more to him and our marriage and our life than what people get to see. So I feel like once I kind of stepped away from that and didn't take things so personally, that I actually started to enjoy it. And as we get on later in the season, when I go through like a lot of personal things that I talk about, I had so many women reach out to me because they really connected with a lot of the things that I was going through and I was talking about. And that was just amazing for me to have that platform. And to have so many women, I can't even keep up with all the messages. I try to respond to all of them and I can't. Just so many women just saying they were inspired by me, or they were inspired by me wearing a bathing suit in Jamaica, because I got so much crap yeah. about like what I looked like.
Right.
So I felt like Jamaica was like a really redeeming episode for me, because I looked good. Like, I'm not... You know, I mean, I looked good in a bathing suit.
No, you really do.
Yeah, and I think everyone was really surprised by that, because I think maybe when you're just wearing clothes or jeans or a t-shirt or something, people can't really see. I just look so much bigger than the other women because I'm so much taller and just, I'm just a bigger girl in general. But I think when you broke it down to me in a bathing suit, I think people were like, holy crap, like she, you know, she looks good. So that was that episode. I got so many messages from women saying, you look so good in a bathing suit. I want to buy that same bathing suit. Where can I get it? You know, you gave me the confidence to go out on the beach with my girlfriends and not feel badly about myself. And I want to go buy the same one piece. And so that I loved. I mean, that was just amazing to hear.
Yeah. And then, I mean, you dealt with, you've really opened your life up, because then even watching you open the baby box, mm-hmm. and then sharing the stuff about your mom, and mm-hmm. we get to meet your mom.
Yeah.
And she hasn't seen your grandkids for over a year.
Or way longer. Well, she's seen Annabelle, because I do take Annabelle to Ohio, but she had not met my boys since the day they were born.
Oh my God, I didn't realize that. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
How has the response been to those things?
That was, I got a lot of really good responses from women too, which made me feel better, because I always felt like there was something, you know, when Gina had that phone call with her mom, which made me break down, because that was what I always wanted, was just an easy, fun relationship with my mom where I could just call her all the time. And I hadn't had that for a long time. That was what was going on when I was filming. My mom was not speaking to anyone at all. So like, I hadn't spoken to her in a year. So that phone call just, oh man, it just brought up all these emotions with my mom. And then it was so nice that so many people sent me so many messages saying, I know exactly what you were talking about. I know exactly what you're feeling, because I have this kind of relationship where my mom was depressed when I was a child, or she suffers from this. And it was just, it was nice to know that people were connecting and they were sharing their stories with me and making me feel like it wasn't so weird that I didn't have the best relationship with my mom. Do you know what I mean?
Because
you kind of are like, well, what's wrong with me? Like, why?
Yeah.
You know? And so it was nice that everyone was sharing so many intimate things about their own life. I felt like I didn't feel so alone at that point.
Yeah.
So.
One part of that I did want to try to understand more was, it seems like in that same conversation with Gina that you were worried almost that your relationship with Annabelle would never be as good as Gina's with her mom.
Yeah, it's something that really, because I only have one daughter. Oh, I'm getting emotional. I only have one daughter. I have Annabelle. And my relationship with my mother is not great, and it hasn't been for like 5 years, just because of her suffering from depression and all the things that she's been going through. And it just, I just worry so much that I don't want to have that same relationship with Annabelle. I don't want her to cry or to not want to talk to me, or I don't know. It just, it concerns me. I just want to make sure that Annabelle and I have the same kind of relationship like Gina and her mom, which, I mean, Gina talks to her mom all the time. They have a great relationship, and that's what I want. But I don't have that. So then that's what worries me.
Yeah.
I mean, I know maybe that sounds weird, but it's a concern.
Yeah. I think I'm more so like, well, but you're the mom in this situation. So you're in the driver's seat. If you want it to be good, it will be good.
Right. And you're right. And that is what it is. I think it's just more of a kind of a little bit of trauma from my relationship with my mom that kind of trickles into my relationship with Annabelle. And I worry about that. But you're right. I mean, it's a totally different situation. And I'm around Annabelle all the time. She's my little sidekick.
Yeah, she's very cute. All your children are so adorable.
Thank you.
Was there any part of you that was, I don't know, nervous for them to be in front of cameras? I feel like children do the craziest things.
No, my kids were actually, what was the first time we filmed was when they did the home visit, or where they come and film you. And it worked out great to my advantage because it was in December. And so there were cameras in the car and they were in the house. And I told Annabelle that it was Santa Claus that sent a camera crew to see if she was good or not. And she was so good. And I was like, if I could get cameras installed in this car for like 365 days a year, this would be amazing. Because I'd be like, Santa Claus is watching you.
That is so smart and so sneaky.
I know. It was amazing because it was right before Christmas. And I was like, she got in the car and she was like, why are all these cameras? And I was like, it's Santa Claus. He installed them. He wants to know if you are naughty or nice. And she was like, oh.
That's amazing. How has your event planning business been doing since the show?
Well, it's basically blown up, except I don't have the time because I am still practicing law and I am a mom. So what we've had to do is just kind of cut back and say that really right now I'm only able to do things for like my family and my mother-in-law. I mean, I wish I could clone myself and have a whole nother Emily that could do just the party planning, but I can't. Like, I'm overwhelmed at this point. So, yeah.
Was it always such a good relationship with your mother-in-law?
Yeah, always.
That's something to be envious of.
Yeah, I mean, it really was. I mean, Shane and I have been married. We'll be married 10 years in February, and his parents have just always been so amazing. And I think maybe it's because I didn't really feel like I had a parental unit. I mean, I didn't have – my dad was not around when I was growing up, and my mom obviously suffered from depression and things. So marrying Shane, I felt like I married the whole Simpson family. So it was like, you know, my sister-in-law lives across the street and my mother-in-law and father-in-law live around the corner, and we're all family dinners and they're all picking up my kids. And I feel very, I don't know, just blessed to be a part of that, because I never had that growing up. So I don't know. I don't rock the boat with my mother. You know, don't bite the hand that feeds you, right? Have you heard that? So, but I've really never had a reason to ever be upset with her either. She's always been so generous and always treated me just like a daughter. So, and the whole process that Shane and I went through to have children, she was so understanding of that. She knew that even though Shane had two daughters, that she understood that those were my stepdaughters and it was not the same thing. Even though I love my stepdaughters, it's not the same thing. And she was very, very supportive of me having children with Shane. And I mean, she took me to doctor's appointments. She went with me. She took care of me when I'd have to go to Beverly Hills and go to the doctor. And I had to have I had all kinds of stuff. I had to have surgery and shots and everything. So she was always there with me, taking care of me. So
that's crazy. I mean, that's so great.
Yeah.
You're lucky you had that. And the fact that you do this side business with your sister-in-law.
Yeah.
I mean, looking at Teresa Giudice and Melissa Gorga, not all sister-in-laws get along.
No, I mean, I don't watch that show. I know they have lots of ups and downs. I know they don't get along all the time. I just know Shireen, I don't know, we've just always gotten along. I mean, maybe it's weird. I don't know. But Shireen's just a sweet person. Like, Shireen gets along with everyone. She doesn't cause drama. She doesn't, you know, get upset about things. And so, I don't know, it's just easy.
Yeah.
I mean, I yelled at her one time in the driveway. I do remember that.
About what?
I forget what it was. We were arguing. It had something to do with a housekeeper or something. I don't know. I was so mad.
What
I was
an
like
Orange County problem.
I know it was. It was like it was so stupid. But then I had to call her and apologize later because I lost it and I was like, I'm so sorry. And she's like, it's okay. But you yelled at me. I'm like, I know I did. I yelled at you.
So you and Gina still tight, thick as thieves.
Oh yeah.
So notoriously on Bravo shows.
Yeah.
People's friendships don't always stay that way if there's another season. Mm-hmm. What do you think would be the thing that would cause a rift between you two?
You know, I'll be honest. I don't think there's anything that could cause a rift. And maybe I'm being naive, but I really don't. I feel like the relationship I have with Gina is so authentic and so solid that even if there was something where I got upset at her a couple months ago or maybe a month ago. It had something to do with the show, and I called her and told her she was an asshole, and she called me later and we were crying and she said she was sorry. So I just feel like that's how we solve things. Like, I don't feel like there would ever be so much toxicity that we wouldn't be friends. I mean, things might happen. I might get upset at her. She might get upset at me. But I feel like she and I have such a similar personality where we just want to, like, you know, be face to face and just call each other names and then be done with it and hug and move on. I just can't imagine that it would ever be toxic, ever.
Do you think she's going to go through with this divorce?
I do. We talk about it a lot. I mean, she is. It's moving along. I know they recently, you know, met and they've worked everything out. Like, they really do work together really well. And so I do think it's, I mean, I'm sad for her. I think she's more upset than she probably lets on because she's strong and she's trying to be strong. But yeah.
Have you been through a divorce? I can't remember.
I was actually married before I married Shane, and it was a brief. It was 5 years, but He was in the military, so I didn't see him very often at all, and we didn't have kids. We didn't even have assets together. It was not. I was in law school. He was stationed. I don't know. He was far away. I think he was in like Afghanistan and things like that. And then I did the divorce. Like I did the divorce myself. I did a summary dissolution, which was really easy. And then I forget about it. I'm like, oh yeah, I was married before. I forget.
That's crazy. How old were you?
26.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then I went to law school, and then when I graduated from law school is when we finally just parted ways. So, but it was amicable.
Has he reached out to you since
the show? No, and I have never been able to find him. I feel like when he and I divorced, he was pretty high ranking in the Marines. And so that was a long time ago. So I have a feeling that he's probably still in the Marine Corps, but he's probably really, really high ranking. And so he probably has some crazy like security clearance because I can't find him. I try to Google him. I try to find him on not like I'm no, I just
yeah,
wanted,
just curiosity.
Yeah. I mean, I just wonder, like, did he get married? Does he have kids? And I cannot find him.
Sounds like a season 14 plot line.
So I'm like, where is he? I mean, I don't think if he was like killed in action or something, I feel like there would have been like an article or something like when I Googled him, like something like that would have come up, and nothing like that comes up. So I feel like he probably has some crazy high ranking security and you can't find him.
Crazy.
I know.
Oh, I love a mystery.
Yeah.
Does Shane have any regrets about being on the show?
Oh, I'm sure he does. I'm sure he has many. He just wants me to do well. That's probably what the misconception is about Shane, is he is very supportive of me. Just I think people don't necessarily see it in like a small little clip of him because he isn't necessarily like filming. I mean, what men do, they don't really like, I don't know if there's any husbands that are like, yes, sign me up. I want to film our life and I want to be on camera. So, you know, he tries to stay in the background and it doesn't work. But I don't know if he has any regrets about anything he did or said. I don't think so.
Or maybe even saying yes.
I don't know. I think he knows that it was something that I wanted to do. And it was something that I felt was important just because I wanted to share my life and the things that I've been through. Because I feel like I have such a wealth of different things that I've gone through that, you know, women can relate to. So I think he was supportive of that. I don't know. I don't know if you'll ever see him on camera again.
Is he on social media now?
No, you cannot find him. No. I even joked with him about, because I'm going on Watch What Happens Live tonight, and I even joked with him. I was like, why don't you just come with me? And then, like, you just go with me, and, like, you know, it'll be a surprise. And he was like, no. Because I was like, if Andy saw you show up, he would probably just die. Like, oh, my gosh. Shane is here. But
Shane!
Yeah, but he was like, no. So
that's so funny.
Yeah, I mean, he has podcasters reach out to him all the time that want him to come on, but he doesn't, which makes him, I think, even more, like, everybody wants to talk to him because he says nothing. He says nothing. He doesn't tweet. He doesn't post anything on Instagram. So he's just this mystery guy that just, like, has these one-liners and then he disappears.
Something that was addressed earlier in the season, but did he ever take the bar?
He's taking it in February.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he's studying right now.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Final question. It's the question fans always want to know. If there's another season and they offered it to you, would you say yes?
I would. And it's because I feel like with your first season, I feel like it's such a learning curve that you really have to get your feet wet. You don't know the women. You don't know the process. You don't know what it takes physically and emotionally to go into it. So I feel like it's just like a hazing experience. Like, you just get thrown to the wolves. And if you can survive, then yay. But so I feel like going into another season, I feel like it would be more me. More of my personality. I feel like I was on the defensive a lot.
Right.
Because it was like no one knew me. So it was like I was defending Shane. I'm defending my marriage. And I feel like next season I don't have to do any of that. I can just be myself. So that is what I would look forward to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being on the
podcast. Well, thank you for
having
me. I appreciate it.
It's that special time of week where we do Rose and Thorn, where we talk about the best moments, maybe some low points of this week on Bravo.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
What was your rose?
My rose was from this week's episode of Real Housewives of Orange County. Mm-hmm. And it was Kelly Dodd and Michael going to Jolie's performance of Oliver. It reminded me so much of when I was doing like high school theater and like my divorced parents would like come together for this like joint cause of coming to see my like little theatrical production. Aww.
Michael will always be part of my family. He'll always be part of my heart. And I hope in the future that we can always be on this track.
You did such a good job.
Thank you.
Oh my God, you did great.
So it's just like, I loved watching, you know, earlier this season, we got a little glimpse at like Jolie's audition and like Kelly sitting there being like, a bunch of nerds, you know? Like,
yeah.
And so it's just cute to see like Kelly as such a mom and supporting, and like her and Michael were getting a little flirtation.
Yes.
Beforehand.
Yes.
I was like, okay.
She was like, I didn't realize it was Oliver. Because I thought that Jolie looked a little bit like Mary Poppins. So I thought that was
I think she had a little mustache. Oh, <no. laughs> Kelly was like, if you ever want to transition, like you look great as a boy. Which I love that too. I loved a little like, you know, trans, yes, you yes. know, support there. Thanks, Kelly. What was your rose?
Okay, so my rose is from Below Deck. Adrienne, who is just the most kumbaya, like zen, mm-hmm. does yoga in the little galley. The most peaceful guy ever finally lost his patience this week. And I just love that because when people seem too calm,
right.
I'm like, no. Where's that underbelly of anger? Mm-hmm. He showed just like a flash of it.
Yeah.
No, there's nothing I can do about it. You don't know what I'm dealing with right now, and it has nothing to do with the boat.
Really? Okay. My father just passed away a month ago. So whatever it is, I doubt it's that. Okay? So,
whoa, is this a competition?
No, it's not, but just, you know, we all have a lot of intense shit going on, so
yeah,
just try and pull yourself together. Yeah, but we're all in this shit together. And
stop judging me. I'm sorry, I'm not judging you.
We're just all working together, you know, and when you're in that attitude, then you put it on me, and then you put it on everybody else. If you can't handle your shit, then you need to step off.
Everyone has their breaking point. I mean, you remember that show on MTV, right? <It's> like, everyone has, like, you can only be pushed so far right. before you're just like, I can't. This can't go on.
Right. So it was good to see that side of him.
Yeah. And now he's back to being zen.
Yes. What was your thorn?
My thorn this week was between Orange County and New Jersey. The overwhelming amount of cosmetic procedures that we've had to experience. Now, I don't have a problem with plastic surgery. It's just watching the whole process, and particularly, you know, with the facelifts, like with Marge Sr., all those lines, like just the thought of like all of that being just like sliced and pulled. Like, I'm just like, oh.
Let's review and shorten your forehead mm-hmm. and at the same time lift your eyebrows.
Okay.
Then we're going to trim that upper eyelid skin that's heavy. Then we're going to do our lift, neck, face. Lastly, we'll come to your lip lift.
Okay.
Oh, God.
And then, you know, the same thing that Vicky went through, the whole face and the whole experience with like all of the bandages and she can't move. And particularly Shannon Bedore, when she went to get her eyes done and they stuck those little papers in to like hold her eyelids or whatever it was. I was just like, oh, God, it was just like really just shivers up my spine.
You don't have the stomach for Orange County.
I don't. And it's funny because most of like the, you know, medical things that I've seen on television, you know, otherwise, I don't have a problem with. Like, I don't have a problem when I have my blood drawn. You know, I have tattoos. Like, I don't have a problem necessarily with like needles or blood. But I think when it comes to something like as sensitive as like your eyes or your face, like that's when I start to get a little like freaked out.
Okay. Well, let's say that in 10 years from now, mm-hmm. you, for whatever reason, just start rapidly aging and the face just goes drop south. Would you do anything?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I would have to really reevaluate in 10 years. Like, I'm not opposed to a little like Botox, like a little, you know, maintenance.
Little
here
zhuzh.
And there. A little zhuzh, you know? Like, it's just like getting a tattoo. Like
right.
Getting a little Botox. But I don't know. I feel like everyone in my family seems to be aging pretty well, so I'm just hoping that, like, I just drink enough water in the next 10 years and, like, get enough sleep that I don't have to get a facelift. But, you know, it's just that the whole idea of just, like, all of it going...
I wish you guys could see him. He's just pulling at his face.
I don't know if it's for me. A little right. Botox is fine within the next, you know, 5 to 10 years probably, but I don't know about a facelift. Would you do it?
I don't know. I mean... I think it's easy to say now,
yeah.
like, oh no, but like, I think at a certain point, like, you just will do whatever you have to feel good about yourself.
Right. Well, and Margaret makes the point herself about her wanting to get a facelift because she's like, well, normally until you're on television, you don't see yourself at every angle that you could right. possibly see yourself. Like, you see yourself in the mirror and that's one thing, or in pictures. But when you're on television, you get side profiles, you get all sorts of different perspectives on your face that you wouldn't normally have. So I guess it's true. We'll have to revisit that in 10 years. Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe a little more than 10 years.
No, it'll definitely be more than 10 years.
We'll need a facelift that quick. But so yes, now that my rant is over, what was your thorn this week?
So my thorn was from Real Housewives of New Jersey, and it had to do with Danielle flipping out on Margaret because Margaret had the audacity to hang out with Dolores.
Danielle, where hurts me.
Oh my God.
What is it that you two really have in common? You cheated on your husband, she got cheated on? I mean, seriously? What the is so important about you being friends with Dolores Catania when it is?
Why do
I? Because I'm being hurt right now.
How old are we? We're allowed to have our own friends. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in loyalty. But as long as Margaret isn't bad-mouthing Danielle,
right?
Then what's the problem? And what really upset me is, fine, you have a difference of opinion. But the second Margaret showed any sort of behavior that Danielle didn't like, mm-hmm. Danielle went to the whole, well, you cheated on your husband.
Low blow.
Low blow.
Way too low.
And to go to that right out of the gate for something not even... It's not even bad.
Right.
I couldn't believe it.
I know that I wrote that down too, because that was such a moment where I was like, that is such an overreaction on Danielle's part. And like, attacking Margaret that way was like way out of line. And I feel like, like you said, when it's with friends, like, we're all too old, you know, after a certain age to really hold on to that kind of stuff. I think it's very different when it's sort of like a Kelly Dodd, Vicky situation where you're like going out to dinner with someone's ex and you don't mention that. Like, Margaret was even transparent with Danielle.
Yeah,
being
she's
like,
I'm telling you ahead of time.
Right, exactly. So it's sort of, you know, Danielle is allowed to feel however she wants about Dolores, but so is Margaret.
Right.
And I feel like if it's not an ex-boyfriend or ex-husband or whatever it may be, like, and it's just a friend that you don't get along with, that's not your say about who someone can and can't hang out with.
Yeah. So in last week's episode, we did include our interview with Margaret, but we had saved a piece for this week, and that's about this whole thing with Danielle. Mm-hmm. So you have to listen from her perspective, how she felt in that moment and how it was sort of the beginning of the end. Well, it was very eye-opening for me to see in the second episode her upset that you were going to Dolores's hatchet-throwing party.
Yeah, nonsense.
But then quickly threw in, oh, what do you guys have in common? You
cheated? Know. Who would say that to their good friend?
I mean, it's like, what a vulnerable point to like kind of poke at.
Yeah, what do you have in common with Dolores except that Frank cheated on her and you cheated on your husband? That's disgusting. I would never say something like that to my dear friend. I'm supposed to be one of your closest friends and you're going to, you know, stick a knife in me just because I'm going to Dolores's hatchet murdering thing. You know, Dolores and I agreed that we're going to start, you know, right from the beginning, we're going to start on a clean slate. I think Dolores and I always respect each other, liked each other, obviously, because of, you know, the situation last year with Ziggy. Dolores and I can be close. And Danielle wanted to start on a clean slate with Dolores. It didn't start out that way mm-hmm. because for whatever reason. And so I'm going to a party. I wasn't going to Dolores' house to sleep in her bed with her and then go on a vacation with her. I was going to Dolores' hatchet throwing event. And for Danielle to have that reaction at our age, grown women, I'm not your husband cheating on you, you know, running around with some other girl. I'm one of your closest friends, and I'm being honest with you, I'm going to this party. And she has that reaction. It's unfathomable to me. I can't understand a grown woman behaving that way.
Do you think you were in shock in that moment?
In shock. Did you see my face?
Well, you were so calm, you know. No. You were clearly like, what? But most people might, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I probably, yeah, but I'm not like that because, you know, what the truth is, it's just like, I'm not going to act crazy when you're dealing with crazy.
Right.
It just, you know, it just feeds into them. She probably wanted me to have a freak out, but I was like, I'm not doing that because I'm not going to act the way she acts. That's not me. I don't have to act that way. I don't have to get all that drama and all that attention, and I'm not going to hit below the belt like that. And I don't want to hear this, I'm hurt, I'm hurt, I'm hurt. I'm not doing that.
Oof. Well, we want to know what your rose and thorns were this week, so tweet us at Bravo TV using the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
And if you're on Facebook, you can join our Bravo Daily Dish Facebook group.
It's so fun.
I love it so much because people are just posting all their opinions, and I find myself like getting in on the conversation.
Yeah, they did a Real Housewives of Atlanta watch party for Premiere, and there are some like trivia questions that you have to answer to get into the group. So, get your Bravo knowledge up.
I love that. So, Eric, Thanksgiving right around the corner. Mm-hmm. What are you thankful for this year?
Well, I'm thankful for this opportunity to be co-host here with you and you as a friend in my life. And I'm thankful for my boyfriend, Danny. And I'm also very thankful that Real Housewives of Atlanta is back.
I mean, who wouldn't be?
I'm so grateful.
Yes.
What about you?
Thankful for you, obviously. Mm-hmm. Super thankful that even though it's a holiday next week, we will have a special episode dropping. So everyone, make sure you're subscribed to the Daily Dish because we have something good coming your way. Hint, hint, it might involve a show that has a reunion coming up.
Ooh.
Stay tuned. And remember, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Meg Segura.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
Bye.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me.